Armal and her nervous little collection of townspeople insisted on taking Marcy together. They hurried along a back road of Wayfarer, a path lined with fake trees, simulating a park. It worked. The set's tranquility officers started a door-to-door search behind them along the main road, but had to maintain the illusion of being a friendly neighborhood watch. This promenade gave Marcy cover, letting her slip past. Entrone's home, constructed over the last year, was so large that she sensed resentment from the others. He should have been smart enough to keep it modest. He likely didn't spend much time in it. But the man's ego apparently demanded something ostentatious, including a third floor with large picture windows on all sides. As they approached, Marcy decided it was probably just another observation center, maybe with a few false rooms at the front to keep up appearances.
All right. Think about what I've said. Please.
They huddled among the fake trees and bushes. Rusts. Marcy wasn't certain they'd be of much help. All the same, she hurried to the building, which was on a small stone hill. She was spotted by people gathering outside their townhomes in deliberate defiance of Entrone's orders. Some pointed. Well, the time of sneaking was gone anyway. Feeling alone, Marcy used Moonlight's picks to undo the lock on the mansion's back door, then slipped in. She passed through a kitchen that seemed a little too clean and quickly found another door, held shut with several deadbolts. Right then. She wasn't getting through that with picks. There was so much that could go wrong with her plan. But she was out of resources and out of time. Once in a while, you just had to do things Wayne's way. She attached one of Moonlight's explosives to the door, took cover behind a cabinet, then blasted the thing off. A second later, she burst through the smoking doorway, pistol ready. The two people in here had ducked to the floor at the explosion, though the small charge, intended for this kind of use, hadn't done much damage to the room. They had been monitoring some radio equipment. A closed door on the other side of the room led farther into the building, and a strange glowing light came from beneath it.
Down.
Marcy had her gun trained on the radio operators. The two didn't look armed, and they hastened to comply.
Radio equipment?
Marcy crossed the room, hauled the woman to her feet, then gestured to the equipment.
This broadcast to the town? Through these microphones?
She nodded.
Turn them on.
The woman hurriedly flicked some switches. Then Marcy sent the two technicians outside and trapped them in a slowness bubble from a charged grenade. She didn't have time to do more. When she returned to the radio room, the door at the far end had opened and people were entering to see what the ruckus was about. And Rust, one of them, was Entrone himself, appearing weary, bags under his eyes, wan complexion making him look like a corpse dressed for a funeral in his fine suit and formal hat. The room behind him glowed with a white light. Marcy glimpsed a large chamber with a white floor, the source of the light, but she didn't have time to study it now. Instead, she leveled her gun at Entrone, but his bodyguards immediately stepped in front of him.
I told you, gentlemen. The rat we've been hunting doesn't hide in the dark. Wait long enough, and it will come to you.
By the authority of the Ellendale Constabulary, I order you to lay down arms and medals, then submit to arrest.
Entrone looked like a man who had just been given a bedtime ultimatum by his 3-year-old. So Marcy fired. She dropped one of the bodyguards, but the other returned fire. Marcy ducked back into the kitchen, narrowly avoiding the shots.
Think about this, Entrone. Are you really prepared to kill so many? Can anything be worth such a terrible act?
He didn't respond. Rusts. She'd hoped to get him talking. She exchanged a few more shots with the remaining bodyguard, then reloaded. As she did, she heard footsteps. Dodging back by reflex, she narrowly escaped getting caught in a slowness bubble. Not made by her, but one that had extended through the wall. She could pick it out by the faint shimmering of the air. She peeked through and saw the bodyguard frozen in a slowness bubble just inside the doorway. Entrone was safely beyond it. But how?
That bodyguard shares my allomantic power. He was trying to catch me in the bubble, but put it up a hair too slowly.
If she hadn't dodged, she'd be trapped in that bubble with him while time sped up around them, giving Entrone plenty of time to get reinforcements. It was a tactic she had employed herself on several occasions. It chilled her to realize she'd nearly been caught in it. The slowness bubble took up a chunk of the kitchen and most of the doorway into the radio room. Entrone paced, separated from her by that slowed time. Gunfire would be useless. They could only glare at one another. She didn't have a good angle to see into the room beyond him, but that glow, it reminded her of something. Entrone settled down in a nearby chair.
Why, Entrone? Why lock all these people away like this? Why pretend the world has ended?
With that corner of the doorway not caught in the bubble, her voice should be able to reach him. Unfortunately, he refused to take the bait, instead simply leaning back in his chair.
Maybe I'm approaching this wrong. He's not going to volunteer anything, but what if he thought he was the one getting information out of me? Wax and Wayne have stopped the launch. Ellendale is safe. You're trapped, and soon this place will be flooded with constables.
Entrone didn't laugh at her immediately, which was a good sign. She hoped he'd try to pry for more information.
That's nonsense, of course. It...
Then he stopped. He glanced at the radio and saw it was on. He gave her a dry look.
I think you are seriously ash sick, young woman. Please, let us help you.
Then he reached over and flipped off the radio.
Damn.
Clever. But what do you think would happen if those in the community knew the truth? They're a bunch of cowed civilians. They've been imprisoned here for 7 years, never knowing the truth, never caring to know it. You really think they'd help you?
Marisie winced. So much for that plan. The guard remained frozen in place between them. Eventually, he'd realize he hadn't caught her and would drop his bubble. But that could take time inside one of those. She knew how that felt.
Entrone, you don't have to go through with this.
With what, exactly?
You're going to open a portal to let Autonomy's army begin an invasion of our world. I know the plan.
He slumped forward further. He was still slime, the way he had casually ordered the execution of those captives had proved it. But he was also obviously burdened by events. Perhaps she could shake his conviction.
Why? You know they're not here to rule, but destroy, lay waste.
Because if I don't, she'll send them anyway. And then I'll be one of the ones who gets killed. We can't fight them. They'll annihilate our forces.
Will they? From what I hear, Autonomy is frightened of us, worried we'll outpace her people technologically. If she could destroy us easily, she'd have done it already, right?
It takes special circumstances to create one of these portals, even for her. Can't just be anywhere or anytime.
He turned, looking over his shoulder.
The timing gave us a deadline.
Rusts. That room behind him. That was where the portal would open, wasn't it? She'd assumed there would be some kind of gateway, but it was the ground that was glowing. Rust. Maybe he hadn't wanted a big mansion out of pride. Maybe they'd built it here to hide the fact that the portal, whatever it was, would appear here. He turned back.
The location. I think it's because of those people, oddly. Such a large collection of metalborn. And we were required to bring in a strange power, a glowing light. That's part of the key.
But...
Are you a survivorist, Constable?
Yes.
Then you know our prime tenant.
He looked up, meeting her eyes.
The ones we're taught from childhood?
Survive.
He nodded.
Not like this. Not at the expense of others. Kelsier didn't give up without a fight. He didn't simply go with what the Lord Ruler demanded. He taught us to survive despite obstacles, not to let ourselves be slowly crushed so we could gain a minute or two of extra breath.
Interpret it how you wish, Constable. I think these troops will come even if Telson is successful, to help oversee us in this new world. One where we serve Autonomy.
That's an excuse. Worse, it's cowardice. You're the mayor of this city. Your duty is to the people, Entrone.
He stood up.
You can't possibly be that idealistic.
She blushed. Was she? Yes, she was, and proud of it.
I have to find a way to close that portal.
She looked through the bubble of slowed time toward the room with the light. Again, she thought it seemed familiar. White, with a mother-of-pearl sheen. Yes, it was like the pure investiture for Moonlight's jars. The floor had been dug out, then filled up with the stuff, making a kind of pool in a recessed portion of the ground.
A great deal of power in one place.
Alec always said that you weren't supposed to store too much harmonium in one place, or strange things happen, yeah? He didn't know what those things were, but Marisi swore she could make out a warping of the air in that room. That liquid was somehow powering the portal. Entrone had stepped up to the faintly visible barrier of the slowness bubble. It was smaller than the ones Marisi made, closer to the size of Wayne's bubbles. Entrone shook his head at the trapped guard.
You're like him, if I recall.
Entrone walked to the side.
A pulsar. Capable of making bubbles of slowed time.
Marisi didn't respond. Entrone strolled sideways near the wall, separating the radio room from the kitchen, where she couldn't see him through the doorway anymore. The bubble filled most of the radio room, but there were some portions at the edges that weren't touched by it.
Do you ever feel embarrassed by your useless power, Constable? I know your sister is an embarrassment to your father, but at least he acknowledged her.
He had done his research. A few years back, that barb might have bothered her. Now, Marisi recognized it for what it was, an attempt to put her off balance. She focused on the glowing pool. The surface was beginning to ripple. Was there another way into the... At that moment, Entrone ripped through the wall itself, circumventing the slowness bubble. Rusts! Marisi shot him in the chest, but the wounds healed immediately, faster than Wayne's did. He gave her a grim smile. Marisi unloaded the entire magazine into him and did little more than poke a few holes in his suit. He grabbed her by the front of her shirt and lifted her. Dust from the drywall streamed down his clothing as he pulled her right up to his face. Still in his grip, Marisi hit him on the side of the head with the butt of her pistol. He just grinned. She did manage to knock his hat off, though.
I am a god now, little bastard. What strength do you have to stand against me? Your alimency. Pathetic. Your weapons. Laughable. You have no power to threaten me.
He turned and threw her out the window with a crash back into the main cavern. It hurt. A sharp, blinding pain all across her body. Cuts and slices, followed by a dizzying hit to her head and shoulder as she slowed and stopped in a heap. Through teary eyes, through the pain, she saw his shape, shadowy in her vision, climbing out the window after her.
The army is coming.
He stalked forward, his nice coat disheveled.
I imagine I'd be some grand lord ruling in a new world, but I guess we all have to do what we must to survive.
He reached for her. She tried to pull back, noting another group of shapes stepping out from the shadows outside the building. Had Armal and the others followed her up to the mansion? She had hoped they would overhear Entrone admitting the truth via the radio. But perhaps they'd been close enough in their curiosity to hear him speak now.
Please, please have heard him.
Gave Entrone loomed over her.
You're right about my powers. I've found uses for them. But they aren't where my strength comes from. Not really.
He grabbed her.
My strength never came from allomancy. Rusts, I learned that lesson as a child. It doesn't come from weapons or even the credentials I carry. Please.
Entrone raised her into the air, then turned to see Armal. The source of the sound was a jar she'd dropped to the ground. Once full of light, now empty.
A replacement for metal, but supercharged.
I'm a constable, Entrone. My strength isn't in myself. It comes from the people.
A rioting with the power of 1,000 Allomancers hit their emotions like a physical wave of force.